the queen, the sorceress. Take a breath, you're sure to miss. Lord of the Rings and Cox-Hating Kiss. I'm the one who rules the space. Pray to God was given grace. Can't be replaced. Why? My coochie laced.
Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf. It's just me today. It is Tuesday. A beautiful day out here in New Jersey. The sky is blue. We've got some wispy clouds, but it is. It's a beautiful day. Hi, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Whether you are a new listener, you've been listening since the beginning, I appreciate it. And now let's get into some topics. Okay, let's talk about the Beyonce thing. First of all, some of the stuff I'm going to be talking about is so fucking silly. But I like talking about silly shit a lot of the time. But okay, not that Beyonce is silly, but the story's silly. Because she was at a basketball game with Jay-Z, her husband, and the owner and the owner's wife. They were sitting next to them. So the owner's wife was kind of leaning across Beyonce to talk to Jay-Z. And you could see in Beyonce's facial expressions and her body language, she was not having it. I really loved Beyonce's facial expressions, to be honest. You could tell everyone's turning it into, oh, the woman was talking to Jay-Z. I think it was more the fact that the woman was in her space. Like, if I'm talking to someone, man or woman, and they are invading that, you know, personal bubble, we all have energy fields that go beyond our physical vessels. And when someone's being like a real close talker or just touching you when you don't want them to touch you or just invading your space, which people do all the time. And I don't understand how they don't know that they're in your space, but some people have just pushed through their own boundaries that they can't even, they just love people. It's like a dominance thing. Some people just like to get in your space, and you're not going to fucking do that to Beyonce. So this owner's wife, she probably has a lot. I mean, she definitely has a lot of money. She's married. I don't even know the fucking sports team. Okay. But she clearly has a lot of money. You know, she's up and she's probably just trying to get like all close with Beyonce. But Beyonce's like not having it. And also, if you disrespect someone's personal space, you're probably not going to end up being their good friend. Unless that person also invades space, I guess. But yeah, I liked Beyonce's expressions when people started turning it into, oh, she was talking to Jay-Z and that's why. No, I think it's because the woman was just up in Beyonce's space in general. And Beyonce's actually a very graceful, polite person. I obviously don't know her, but just from, you know, the sense of her I get. And she was trying her best to say, bitch, back up as nicely as she could. But yeah, I love Beyonce. And when Beyonce gives toot, it's so good because she is so graceful about it. So we can all relate to those annoyances and facial expressions. But man, people love to pretend that they don't have bitchiness or crankiness or whatever inside of them. Like we're all multifaceted creatures with a large range of emotions. And the more you can just include all these places within you, you don't have to like them or love them at first, but just acknowledge. I mean, it's hard when you have shame around certain parts of yourself. I'm right now claiming my sexuality from such a different place. Obviously, it might seem like I've always done this because I've been good at going on stage and doing sex jokes or vagina jokes or, you know, dating jokes, whatever. But there's a different, softer quality when you claim your personal sexuality for you. Like I literally recently just wrote a couple scenes that are very in the 50 Shades of Grey arena. And just writing it out, like using words like cock and dick and stuff, like it makes me giggle just saying it. But when you say it from that place, and I won't say much more about it, but you know, I was really in the scene. It's for, well, I don't want to get into it more than that, but it shocked me how much I was still like little girl about it. Like, just like I said, just writing a scene where you're like, something about a person's cock, you know, you're like, ugh, like you feel, I don't know. It was a wild experience to allow myself to do that and to claim the romance erotica writer within me that I never had fully played with. But it makes sense. Like, I love Twilight, love 50 Shades of Grey. I also love Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones. Lord of the Rings did not really have any intense sex scenes, but it could have used it if you asked me. Game of Thrones obviously had that. But honestly, the more in love scenes didn't get that wild. Like, some of the wilder scenes were with like the prostitutes and stuff. Like, I have a movie that I've written that I want to make, and I definitely want to have some intense sex scenes. And I'm, you know, the main character in it. I am totally cool with showing my body on camera. And there have been, let's see. So Emilia Clarke has talked about how hard it was, because I think she like showed her entire body from the first episode of Game of Thrones. I believe it was the first episode, the bath scene. But she said, you know, showing her body like that really got a certain response from certain audience members, because so many people are still so prude and weird about our naked bodies, and that shame that we collectively hold comes out in different ways. And I'm seeing my own shame around it. But, you know, as I heal it, I'm like, look, I don't care if people are going to judge me or not. Like, I definitely want to do some pretty crazy nude scenes in the movie I've written. And I want to feel good about it. But Emilia was saying, I think she got offered the part for 50 Shades, I guess. And she said that she turned it down because she already knew the hardship of doing a nude scene and how people treated you. So she didn't want to take that, which is like, fine. I respect it. First of all, I love Dakota and I love Jamie Dornan. Dakota Johnson, everybody. I loved the two people. They were meant to do the 50 Shades movies. So I'm so happy it was them too. But I think they kind of regret a little bit all the nudity and the sex scenes. And I'm like, own that shit. That is sexy. And to me, like, we're all animals. We all love fucking. We all love sex. Unless you are listening to this podcast and you've never had sex, whether you're an adult who's never had sex or because you're in middle school or something, we're all sexual beings, even if you're not currently engaging in that act. And the shame we have just around our desires to be these sexual beings is still often leading the ship. And it's been wild watching how that has still been affecting my life, just in the sense of the shame around how sexual I am and how much that force drives me when I open up to it. And not just the sexual part, but the romantic part. You know, I'm a huge romantic. I've been talking about the twin flame stuff for a long time, way before it was cool to be talking about. You know, you can get made fun of in this culture for being such a romantic and wanting poetry and having those like heart-shaped eyes, in a sense where you're like, for a person. So I have been trying to claim both the sexual part of me, but it's completely tied into that super romantic, faith-based love. And I believe in twin flames. And I believe that when you meet your actual vibrational match in this earth plane, it creates this miraculous, you're already on a healing journey, but the ascension that takes place, because both of your missions are tied into the ascension of the planet, essentially, because our planet Earth for real is not in great shape. Like, if you've seen any of the videos of all the plastic in the oceans, and we got to clean this shit up. And I believe we have access to incredible advanced technology, especially if we open up to our intergalactic council. The government knows, by the way, that aliens are here. We all I think we all fucking know this at this point. If you don't know it, it's because you're just in denial. Because there's so much information out there at this point, in my eyes, that completely prove it. And I believe that a lot of these advanced, enlightened civilizations could help us clean up things like the ocean. So we're getting to a point where we're going to need to make conscious, awakened contact with these other civilizations. And I'm so about it. Now, people who are stuck in fear, that's fine, but they already exist whether you want to admit it or not. The things are already happening. There are many people currently residing on the planet Earth that have communication with these other civilizations. You would just be waking up to something that's already existing. And if you're scared of aliens, you should also be scared of humans. Because, you know, the human race, we're a very complicated bunch. But I've met a lot of not so nice, quote unquote, evil, which just means disconnected from spirit, humans. And, you know, the point isn't to take them down, but we can't allow these fear-based zombie-like humans to stop us from using advanced technology and connecting to these other civilizations and actually incorporating newer, greener, cleaner technology where we could actually clean up this fucking planet. And that's what we're going to have to do, because what's the other option? The planet dying. So anyone who just wants to stay stuck in old systems, bye-bye. You ain't seeing compassion over here. I mean, I'll show a little bit, but like also bye-bye, because we got to keep this planet alive. And part of it is claiming your inner primal sexual life force energy. The light and the dark are both contained within this. And when you hold opposing forces, if you think of like the yin-yang symbol even, a third thing opens up that contains all parts plus more, if that even makes sense. So, you know, we're ready. I'm personally ready for a whole new way of operating. And if it includes me writing erotica on the regular in a very romantic, in love, though, kind of way, I'm fucking down. I actually recently read this series called The Darkest Flame. It's about a dragon king who falls in love with a mortal human woman. Oh my God, I loved it. It's really, really good. So any of you, and there's incredible, intense sex scenes that inspired me. So anyone who's kind of aching for more of that stuff, it's called The Darkest Flame. I forget the author, but you'll see it's like a hot dude with like a dragon on his chest. It's so fucking, I loved it. So embrace that part of you, men and women. I was talking to my friend earlier and she was saying how, you know, a lot of the erotica, people think that only women like it. No, men and women are both very sexual creatures. So I don't know, maybe everyone try The Darkest Flame. I thought it was great. And if you're into like fantasy shit, like dragons and fairies and the dark fae, and I loved it. It was really good. I inhale when I'm into it. It takes a lot for me at this point to get into a series, but if I get into it, I'm like, I go through those books so fast. I mean, first of all, I've read the whole Twilight series over and over and watched those movies. Fucking incredible. Obviously, I've read Lord of the Rings over and over and watched the movies over and over. I love that shit. So this is really just saying, what I'm saying is, do you, even when it comes to claiming your sexuality? I've been celibate for way too long. I'm going to say that too. And I'm not looking just to have sex to have sex. Like I said, I want that crazy, passionate and madly in love thing, but I'm just not going to pretend that ain't me. Like so many of us are living lives where we're not fully in touch with our full sexuality. You know, we're sexual beings. We want to fucking hump and shit. So like, I just think it's time we stop pretending. You know how many fucking relationships are out there and they're just not fucking happy, whether it's sexually or emotionally or whatever. And then they're playing pretend out there. Like, and that's not to diss, because we're all in this, you know, it's nega netzach if you look at the tree, but it's like this fake fucking trophy kind of life. And I'm done with it. You know what I mean? I'm bored a lot of the fucking time. We all deal with pain, sadness, grief. We got to do this together and we got to start celebrating life. We got to start being who we are. I'm ready to fucking put war paint all over my face, have my boobs out and just like howl at the moon. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to do shit that my soul actually wants. And I'm ready to start really talking about it, honestly, from a different place. I'm not yelling it. I hope not. It's more of just like, yo, I need more. I need more fulfillment. I want, my soul wants to be alive every single day. I know everyone's really yearning for this. Some people feel it's just unattainable. Maybe you have a job that you've been in for years and years and years, and you just can't see your way out, or you're in a family situation that you feel stuck in, which brings me to the whole Irina and Bradley Cooper split. So they split up. Obviously, I'm not very surprised. I do not believe that they're twin flames. I did a whole podcast called A Star Is Born, where I talk about how, to me, it's so obvious that Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper are meant to be together, but that doesn't mean they will come together. You know, to enter that kind of a passionate union, I mean, you kind of see it in the movie A Star Is Born, which is now free on HBO if you have an HBO subscription. But it shows that when you're in that kind of love, which is really the only kind of love for me, or it's just not worth it. But when you're in that space, it brings up all your self-hate. It's intimacy. You are being seen. So a lot of people would rather a less fiery, passionate dynamic, because at least they feel safer. You know, I'm doing my own things to make me feel safe. Like, I isolate a lot, right? Because if you're not really seen by anyone, no one can hurt you or judge you. Although that's not really true, because you're still hurting. You're just kind of creating a barrier. But the point is it's scary being seen, especially if you have all this shame and self-hate. And I'm trying to really heal this shame that is still surrounding my sexuality, even in the creative sense of it, right? Because I just made another song with someone. I don't want to shout out his name yet, but it's first of all, it's amazing, but it's sexual. It's out there. You know, the stuff I just wrote, the scenes that I want to act out in the movie I wrote, I'm a sexual being and I want to be able to claim that proudly. But yes, some people will judge, but if I am truly secure in it from within, it won't be able to hurt me. And that's the place I'm trying to get to, of just being who I am. It's exhausting not being. And I think a lot of us are ready for this shift. It's like, how many more days can you fill with shit that you're not really fully enjoying just because you think you're supposed to do it? Like, I'm fucking done. I'm done. I told a group of my friends of this last week. And I told my friend Jess this morning too. I'm just fucking done living life where you're not fully alive. What are we doing? It's like, I remember being a kid being like, oh man, once I'm out of this house and I'm free, I'm going to have the best life. And it's like, here I am, free, and I'm still in a sense feeling like I'm in a cage a lot of the time, not living like this fully popping off life that I want to live. And I feel like a lot of us are feeling this, and we're going to get there. We just have to keep going and speaking our truth. So if you're not feeling fully fulfilled, stop pretending you are. That's the first step, is actually being honest. Because if you're pretending, then how would anyone even know? You know what I mean? Then we all stay locked in this old way of being that's not even making any of us fully happy or alive. So, and I'm not saying no one's happy. I know a lot of us have, like, I'm happy. I have a great life, but I'm just still not fully fulfilled. Like, I want that crazy in love, Bella Edward, Cooper Gaga, 50 Shades Freed love. What the fuck else are we doing other than that? You know, that's just, I mean, I get it. Some of us settle or we get stuck or whatever. And like I said, if you're stuck and you need help, kwolf2f27@gmail.com for a healing. It's not an easy path, but at least this healing work has led me to being more and more of who I am and speaking my truth as authentically as possible and as gracefully as possible. And it's not about perfection, because we all fall, but it's about learning and first and foremost, learning how to love yourself and making yourself your firstest best friend. Not always the easiest, but I'll tell you what, writing those fucking crazy erotica scenes helped me love myself more, because I finally looked at it, was like, oh shit, you want to do this? Like, okay, Kate, you want to write erotica scenes sometimes? Like, but I want to put it within stories. But man, it's so fun when you allow those doors to open. It's like, okay, I was in a lot of pain because I wasn't even opening up to this passion within me that existed, you know? Do I think Gaga and Cooper are going to come together? I fucking hope so. I really do. Because when you get to that point, any other person they date is just, it's really just delaying the inevitable. And then the other people get hurt. It's like, just go for it. You know what I mean? If it's scary though, because they're really close friends, obviously, and they love each other and they're each other's support system. So I'm sure it's like, yeah, but what if it doesn't work? Will I lose that? It's like, first of all, I just think that they're going to work, but it would take a lot of communication and support, you know, depending on how much therapy and foundation they have within themselves. Because like I said, it really is the twin flame journey and the actual manifesting coming together. It happened with Ariana Grande and Pete. I still feel that they're twin flames, but it can get really tumultuous because you're seeing yourself. And until you really love yourself and understand a lot of your blind spots, it's just almost too intense to hold. So some people really do prefer a, you know, soulmate connection, which is still very transformative. But like I said, that has an expiration date, those other ones. And when you want to live from a place where you feel eternal, in a sense, yes, death is a part of life, obviously. But death can be just transformation. It doesn't have to feel as frightening. And the twin flame relationship also gets you in touch with that life preciousness, in a sense, form anxiety, the fact that we fear things just shifting and moving and the fluidity of life freaks us out. But what I love about the twin flame journey, as you start to feel the eternal bond literally between you and God and goddess, in a sense, because God and goddess never actually leave you. You know, you have this beautiful life, and God and goddess, or the universe, whatever you want to call it, force, you're never actually separate from it, even when you feel you are. So the twin flame journey is really remembering that eternal connection between you and that source energy, the higher lights from above, God, goddess, whatever you'd want to call that thing. So I think it's, you know, even though it can be very volatile at first, it ends up essentially holding you. It's like it becomes like God holding you in his and her arms. So it's a really beautiful thing. I can't wait to continue my studying of twin flames in general, especially as it relates to the Kabbalistic tree of life that I've studied and continue to study. So yeah. And like I said, I've had crazy dreams where people like Edward Casey come through to help guide me and give me more information along why the twin flame journey is so important. And I've said this before, we all desire true passionate love. It links to our connection to our parents when we're born. And it links to ascension. We want to be seen. It's okay to be seen. It's beautiful to have those desires. We want companionship. It's why when you turn on the radio, love songs are always on. It's, you know, a lot of those artists, they're so sensitive. They can tune in to those really deep places that we collectively share, but they go in. And when you tune in and channel from those places, you're singing about true love. You know, think about the Beatles, one of the most popular bands out there. They were leading the way in many ways for what it meant to be a sensitive and brave man. And they were often singing about love and revolutions. And, you know, I can't wait to see the shift for all of us to just become more vulnerable and honest about what it is we're all truly wanting, and feeling free enough and supported enough to talk about it with each other. And I am very, very blessed. I have a group of friends that, you know, are really so dedicated to the path of healing, awakening, and truth, and supporting each other in that truth. But truth isn't always, quote unquote, fun. You know, it can be bumpy. But I think when you find people who are so dedicated to truth in that graceful and kind, compassionate way, and in a way that's non-dual, where you include both the light and the dark of what it means to exist even, I think that's crucial in being able to heal and awaken. Because when you start to see certain parts of yourself that maybe before you didn't let yourself see, it can be a shock. But look, we all have an inner murderer within us. Every single one of us. There are reasons why things like the Holocaust have even occurred throughout our history. And it honestly, I think goes down to collective shame and self-hate. And when you can't see it within, then you want to hurt others. So, you know, for me, the path of the Bodhisattva of healing and awakening is really the only path. Otherwise, we recreate over and over these really violent patterns. And if you look throughout our history and even our TV watching experience, I'm kind of sick of the violence, you know? And when I say kind of, I mean, look, combat can be beautiful when done in a very Tai Chi like way, or jujitsu, or, you know, there are many martial arts that study the art of conflict, but it's in a way that's in the flow of life. So I think it's important to claim our inner violence and not shun it, but to start to channel it. And I know I've been craving going to the batting cages. I want to shoot bow and arrows. I want to fucking kick the shit out of a punching bag. You know, it's important to have outlets for this very fiery energy. And it doesn't have to just be physical. There's a reason why I love to write raps and channel my sexual forces into these stories now. You know, it's very crucial to have healthy outlets for these forces within our systems. And I think as we all learn to do that, we will see that there will be less external violence, because we'll be channeling that inner quote unquote murderer, right? Within, in ways that are less hurtful to each other, the environment, and animals. You know, I still, I'm not happy about what's going on. So I live in Woodbridge, New Jersey, in that township. And there's a park basically right near me that has animals. It's Merrill Park. And I wrote the Parks and Rec guy, which you can find on the Woodbridge, New Jersey Parks and Rec site. You can find his email, because some of the animals have a decent amount of space. And they do, it is an animal quote unquote sanctuary, because they take unwanted animals, which is a nice thing. But if you're taking these animals, even if their owners no longer wanted them, and then putting them in cages where they have no fucking space to move, that is a cruel thing to do. And I'll tell you what, no animal wants to live in a tight, confined space, humans and animals alike. And it's time that we start actually speaking up for animals as well, and putting yourself in their shoes. They are living, breathing creatures. And this isn't to say I expect everyone to be vegetarian. Okay, I do love a more meat-free lifestyle. I'm a big proponent of that. But I'm also very aware that there are certain humans whose bodies, for whatever reasons, actually need that meat kind of protein, including animals like cats who need meat proteins. So it's very important that as we heal and treat animals and each other kindly, that we allow for freedom and space in every way. So even in the meat industry, factory farming in the way that they're doing it needs to go. It's one thing for an animal to at least be free, roaming, right, until their death. But, you know, it's just very complicated being alive, right? Because in order to live, things must die, even if it's plants. Now, personally, I would be down at some point to even attempt being a breatharian. I'm not there yet, but I did watch this documentary. I think it was called Let There Be Light. I would love to just consume prana energy to stay alive, honestly. But I also really enjoy eating some good food still. Sometimes, honestly, eating can be such a bore to me. Like, it's like, oh, I can't believe I have to eat again. Like, I've gotten to that place a lot, but I still can enjoy a good meal for sure. So I'm not saying I'm going to breatharian, everyone. It has been a thought in my system for a long time. And even when Shane was really young, because he's been vegan and vegetarian. He's vegetarian now, but he was vegan at some points in his life. But he was always like, I don't want to eat anything. I don't want to hurt anything. I want to be a breatharian. And I was like, you can't, honey. I'm not going to let you be a breatharian. But he always had that. I'm sure he doesn't think that anymore. It's probably not a cool thing to say in middle school. But I really enjoy a compassionate lifestyle, but that's still filled with truth and fire and honesty. Truth, fire, and honesty. Truth and honesty are like the same thing. But that's the shift we all need to get to, is just really being super honest about our struggles and our down times. And we all have them, just not a lot of people are truly and fully willing to share. So, you know, we're getting there. All right, I'm going back to my notes. Oh yeah, and just always really listening to your bodies. Our bodies are built to listen and receive. When you can open up and actually receive the lights from above, it's so much easier to flow and to know where your heart is pulling you. So just starting to really, really listen on a deeper level what your heart wants, even if you're not fully able yet to act on that impulse or desire, at least you can start opening up a relationship to your heart in a deeper way. Oh, my heart really does want to do that. Even if it's sexual related, like as I open up to it more and more, I'm like, what does my heart want? My heart's like, I want fucking good, hot sex. And I'm like, okay, heart, good. Of course you do. You know, and I love hearing that come through because we're allowed to want. Who doesn't want that? So just really starting to listen. And your body is very connected to your heart and your brain. And if you're starting to feel shitty or crappy while doing a certain thing, listen to that. If you start to get a stomach ache every time you talk to a certain person, or you know what I mean? Like, they're just starting to listen to how your body reacts. Even if your brain's like, oh my God, but you love this person and they're this. And if your body is crunching, listen. You don't have to jump to a conclusion as to why, but it's information for you to pay attention to. And that has saved my life because I do battle Lyme disease. I've had it since I was like 23. And when you have something like Lyme disease, it can push you to your limits to the point where you have to really say, what do I really need? Even if you feel like a weenie. And a lot of times I need to rest. And ooh, that mean voice will come in, calling me names, including lazy, all of it. And I've had to really find the compassion to not just do it, not to just rest, but I'm also recently learning to see how much compassion I'm giving myself and to not beat it up and to appreciate the fact that I'm making these fiery decisions that allow for my healing, even if it's not something that's completely accepted by our society. Because I believe that there's a sickness here in the West. A lot of us see this, but I think it's probably all over, to be honest. But I'm sure there are certain cultures that are more in tune to these spiritual practices. But, you know, you got to take care of yourself first. You got to pamper yourself. You got to love yourself. And if you need rest, you need rest. Doesn't mean you're able to find it right away, right? But at least starting to open up that channel to hear your body saying, I need a different way of navigating. And mine is definitely saying it. And my body needs to have sex. to be honest. So I don't really know. I don't have any, like, there's nothing else for me to say other than that. But I'm just putting it out there into the universe. And if I have any listener grossly hit on me, then you are not listening to what I'm saying. So I'm not saying I want sex from just anyone. I want to come into my twin flame union and have wild, crazy, passionate, connected sex. I am done with the emptier sex. First of all, I haven't had sex in 3 years. But like, for me, it's either going to be that passionate, deeply connected thing or ain't nothing, because the other shit feels worse than celibacy. And no one can convince me of otherwise, because I've done it and it sucks. Because when you're having sex, even if you're trying to pretend it's casual or whatever, you are seeing intimately into a person's being. You are sharing in energy fields, fluids, all of it. And when you're not able, when you're not really into the person and you're opening like that, then also having to shut something off abruptly, whew, that can be painful for everyone involved. So, you know, not to once again sound like a prudy Judy, because I ain't. I just wrote the craziest sex scenes. But for me, it has to be steeped in that kind of love. And that's why I love that book, Darkest Flame, because the hot sex scenes are between people that fall madly in love very quickly. So I'm about it. And for me, you can only really have that kind of sex when you're in that kind of love. Otherwise, it's more like porny fake. We're like, yeah, yeah, you like that? You don't even like whatever. That shit's so corny. Okay. I'm definitely not doing a full hour because my throat's already hurting from talking. Oh yeah, and like I wrote down fake trophies. Like, guys, it's very easy to create a life that externally looks good. It's a whole other ball game to create a life and manifest a life where you're actually feeling fulfilled, safe, but alive. And that's what I think we all need to fucking go for. Also, paying attention to how our subconscious and our conscious mind create our realities. Our subconscious, when we don't want to hear what it's saying, is still active. For example, maybe you really want space, right? But you don't know how to really create that. Your subconscious will help you do things to get the space that you want. But then if you're not aware of what you're doing, it seems like it's torture. And this has happened to me so many times in my life where what I really crave is space, but I can't admit it to myself. So my subconscious will act out so I get the space, but then I'm, you know, clinging or scratching at a thing or an opportunity when the truth is my subconscious pushed it away in the first place. So the more that you can open up to both the subconscious places within and the conscious, the more you can be seated in your one life where you are and understand why you're creating this the way you are. I still often like to leave my life for a fantasy life. A lot of us do this. And I just really want to come more into my own life and live it and appreciate it and understand why I'm navigating the way I am. I think the more I open up and allow myself to see certain places within myself, the quicker I'll be able to manifest the one life that I really, really want to be seated in, which is going to be way more surrounded by friends and healers that I really want to help create a whole new earth with, where we have these advanced alien technologies and human technologies cleaning up the planet, creating events where we can howl at the moon with our titties out and paint all over our bodies, where we can talk about sex and not feel this intense shame for even being a sexual being. Like, all of it. Cleaning up the whole thing. Education system. Not having these horrific factory farms. Not having this fucking... I can hear the animals in my park crying every morning and night. And I know that I'm not the only one hearing it. So me and my neighbors were listening to these animals mourn and cry and scream while we suppress our own inner cries and screams. I had a good friend, teacher, and healer suggest to me, because I just wanted to scream. And he's like, scream. And I was like, oh, I can't. My neighbors will think I'm crazy. And he said, so scream into a pillow. And I've been doing that. I've been screaming into a lot of pillows lately, and it helps. Let's stop pretending we don't hear our own screams, each other's screams, the animals' screams, this planet screaming. We hear it. So we can admit it, or we can push it away. But I'm done pushing this shit away. It's no way to live anymore. I'm done. I'm going to be so fucking honest. And some people ain't going to like it. But I'm not living for them. And neither are you guys. I'm definitely going to have to wrap this up because my voice is going. But you know what? Let me just get my card deck really, really quick to pull some cards for you guys. Hold on. All right, I'm back. I hope that wasn't too long of a pause. I try to be super speed quick. Okay. So I'm just going to pull one from the Art Through the Eyes of the Soul Oracle deck. Ooh. Dawning of the Green Man. Embrace the three worlds. Ooh. Well, I'm going to interpret the three worlds as, first of all, just like we really are in some interdimensional shit and we forget. But I'm going to talk about the worlds as they kind of relate to the Kabbalistic universes in a sense. Or maybe I'll even just do it like mind, body, spirit connection, because I think that's pretty well known. So if we talk about mind, body, spirit connection, it's like not getting just stuck in what's going on in the physical. We have the whole physical universe, right? The body, which is connected, which is what I was talking about before. Listening to your body is really about listening to the visible and invisible, the known and the unknown. And remembering there's a whole psychological universe. Your mind's got shit going on. We've got a whole spiritual universe. And they're always all interconnected. So just remembering that it's okay to not know what the fuck's going on. I'm in confusion a lot of the time. I'm like, wait, what's happening? Sometimes I could swear certain people hate me, who then I find out love me. And I'm like, oh, it was my own self-hate. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, embrace the three worlds, mind, body, spirit. And remember, there's so much more going on than we often realize. And we're not actual victims, even when we feel like we are. When we're getting stuck in blame, we're missing something from within. So keeping that in mind when you're getting stuck in a certain place, that there's more than one world, in a sense, going on. And some of you can even see into other universes and maybe opening that up, you know, whether it's people who have passed or other beings in general, you know, they're often communicating with us and we block it out. So when you want a sign, just ask for one and you'll probably get one pretty quickly. Sometimes via animal kingdom. Animals. Oh, the other day I was driving through the park with Shane and there was this beautiful, it was like, looked like a falcon and an owl. It was this beautiful huge bird was just perched on the fence and it stared at me because I was like so excited. I was like, oh my God. It looked at me and I was like, we like made eye contact and I was like, you are a regal animal. So it can even be through the animal kingdom that you get your messages or signs. So we're waking up. We're ready for more. Let's fucking do this. If you want a tarot or non-dual Kabbalistic healing from me, it's kwolf2fs27@gmail.com. I have Comedy Seance at New York Comedy Club's 4th Street location on July 28th with Jess Grippo and Allison Charles are my co-hosts. We've got a great lineup and promo seance for $10 tickets. Like I said, that's July 28th at 6 p.m. Hopefully I'll have some other stuff to share soon. Like I said, I worked on a new song with someone who's insanely talented in the music industry, and I'm very excited that I think we're making a lot more songs. I'm like scared to even announce. I get so scared being in the entertainment industry. It's so scary to say anything because things can shift and change so quickly. So I've made the one song with this person. It's fucking dope, and I believe we're creating more, and I am so excited. But then there are some other things I'm hoping to put together to share with you guys. And thank you all so much for listening. It means a lot to me, and have a great day. Bye.
Who is it? It's Sauron. The war in me has just begun. My truth will always be sung. Over and over we will be one. My enemies, they lie with it. Self-destruct, my biggest sin. I won't stop, so it begins, and we march on like minions.
Lordess of the rings, Lordess of the rings, Lordess of the rings, Lordess of the rings.
I'm the hero, 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 the hero.